Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We begin a new sermon series today entitled Rhythms of Grace. The readings are taken from Matthew 6, verses 19 to 24, and verses from Hebrews 11 and 12. The Reverend Fabian Wirtz introduces our new series, and his talk is entitled What Slows You Down? You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
So as the screen says, I'm reading from Matthew chapter 6, beginning, I'm reading from the Message translation. Don't hoard treasure down here, where it gets eaten by moth and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven, where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place where you will most want to be and end up being. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your window, there is a dark place you will have to live in. You can't worship two gods at once. Loving one god, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading this morning comes from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, starting at verse 8, and then we jump on to the start of chapter 12 towards the end. I'm reading it from Tom Wright's New Testament for Everyone translation. It was by faith that Abraham, when God called him, obeyed and went out to a place where he was to receive an inheritance. Off he went, not knowing where he was going. It was by faith that he stayed in the promised land as a stranger, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, who were joint heirs of the same promise. He was looking ahead, you see, to the city which has foundations, the city of which God is the designer and builder. It was by faith that Sarah herself, who was barren, received the ability to conceive a child, even when long past the right age, since she considered that God who had promised was trustworthy. Thus it came about that from one man, and him more or less dead, there was born a family as many as the stars of heaven in number, as uncountable as the sand on the seashore. All these people died in faith. They hadn't received the promise, but they had seen it from far off and had greeted it and had recognized that they were strangers and wanderers in the land. People who say that sort of thing, you see, make it clear that they are looking for a homeland. Had they been thinking of the place from which they had set out, they would have had plenty of opportunity to go back to it. But as it was, they were longing for a better place, a heavenly one. That's why God is not ashamed to be called their God, since he has prepared a city for them. And then at the start of chapter 12, what about us then? We have such a great cloud of witnesses all around us. What we must do is this. We must put aside each heavy weight and the sin which gets in the way so easily. We must run the race that lies in front of us, and we must run it patiently. We must look ahead to Jesus. He is the one who carved out the path for faith, and he is the one who brought it to completion. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So I'm sure you're all waiting eagerly to find out about this new series we're going to be following, and I'm sure Fabian will introduce that himself. Thank you, Fabian.
So yes, good morning. Let's just quiet ourselves. Lord, I pray that the message that you want to deliver in our own hearts will be heard. It might be a sentence, might be a promise, a challenge, whatever it is, Lord. Guide this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So yes, we're starting a new series called Rhythms of Grace. And it's going to lead us all the way to the season of Advent. And there'll be a little bit of breaks because we have also some kind of special services like Remembrance Sunday and things like that. But as a general, that will be the title, Rhythms of Grace. And today it's what slows you down. And just before I start in those two readings, and the second one I chose because I am going to speak about the Camino. Lots of people have asked me, oh, give us a little bit of a feedback, what happened? And so the Camino is a pilgrimage, it's a walk. And that passage of Hebrew is about people walking with God in faith and how that walk has changed the course of history. And I've noted in those two different translations that idea of journey of faith to a homeland. Christian life is seeking to get to that place that has been already promised, going home. But to get there, we need to be transformed from the inside out so that we will be fit for that place. And that's why Christian life is not all going to heaven when I die and, you know, here it's just a struggle, constant struggles, but by the way, it's all fine. No, God is using all the things that happen in our lives to mold us, to shape us, so that we are in that place when we finally get to the resurrection of the body and this new creation when heaven and earth are brought together, we will say, wow, this is where I always belonged. That's the journey. That's the pilgrimage. And that's why he says there are things we need to put aside, the weight, and I'm going to explore that a little bit, and things that stick with us from our old life that we need to learn God to help us to get free about. And we do that by looking ahead and looking at a person, a little bit like I will say in my pilgrimage, what I was looking is the destination, Santiago de Compostela. That's what helped me walking one day at a time in that pilgrimage. Looking ahead, fixing our eyes to Jesus. And then we'll explore Matthew, what does it mean to have treasure in heaven, to store up for ourselves treasure there, so that when we get there, we will say, wow, this is the place I've always wanted to be, and this is now, by God's grace, the place I am. So, the Camino. There we go. If you don't know what it is, pilgrimage, lots of people are walking, and there are various routes that you can take. Some are taking a week or 10 days, some are taking 30, 40 days, some are taking months. I was there for a good 25 days and walked most of those days. As you know, those who have followed me on Facebook, there were times where I had to stop because I had issue with my ankles and with my knees. But if you want to be a purist, normally you would get out of your house, close the door, and start walking. Now, it was a little bit difficult for me because there is sea in between. So, I must say, I did walk to the train station. Then I took a train and went to London. I took a plane and I landed in France. And I started the Camino Francaise, or the French walk, the French way. And so you start that, well, one of the way you start is at Saint-Jean Pied-de-Port, which is on one side of the Pyrenees. You might have recognized some of the pictures that were on the Facebook during my walk. And this particular walk take a good 30 to 35 days. So I didn't have the time to do that one, but I wanted to start there because I wanted a challenge. So Pyrenees going up and down. So for the first 6 days, I was going up and down. I think I did about 15,000 feet of ascension and descent. No wonder I had health problems. and then, because that was not challenging enough, then I jumped from Longrono. That's about 6 days from my start. Took a bus overnight, and I thought, wow, I'm going to arrive to that other route, which is called the original way. It's the Camino Primitivo, the first actually walk that was done in the 9th century by a king. And this is the most challenging again, with all the ascent and descent. And I think I did a total of about going up the Himalaya and going down. So it's about 1.5. It feels terrible. It did feel terrible at some point. But actually, if you do the southwest pathway, in here, you are climbing the Himalaya a few times. It's going up and down also. Anyway, so I walked about 20 days, if you want some of those numbers. It's around 350 miles I did, and then lots of ascension and descent. That was my second part in Oviedo, started, and that's the famous arrow that you follow. It's very easy to follow, it's very well indicated. Sometimes you get it wrong, and so you need to follow pilgrim says, no, you need to go back there. But generally, it was easy to walk. And that's where you get to Santiago de Compostela, with the cathedral there, and I'll speak a bit more about that hill, where you have this amazing two pilgrim statues that kind of greets you and points to the final stretch, which is about 5 miles, to the cathedral. Now, lots of reflection, and I'll unpack it in the next following weeks. Next week, I'm going to speak about the people I've met, the community, and the richness there is in walking with others. But today, I was going to take three items that were essential to my Camino, and I'm going to start with my backpack. So there we go. So there is my backpack. Very important. You see different pictures there. Different times. Sometimes was raining, sometimes was dry, and sometimes was very cold. So, my backpack. My backpack was too heavy. No, it's the first time I did, you know. But I took things I really didn't know, need. I took things, and the expression I've learned from a girl who did the Camino. And I thought Saint-Jean Pied-de-Port was the start of the French Camino, but actually French people start way earlier. Le Puy is one of their starting points. And that's 800 kilometers before even where I started. So she was on the way already for a month and a half, I think. And she had started with a tent and all kind of things. And as she progressed, she just threw it up. Threw the tent, threw this, threw that. And she said, yeah, I took this. Just in case. That was the expression, just in case. Well, there was lots of just in case in my bag, and it made it very heavy. And after a few hours, okay, that's fine. But if you start walking day after day with that weight, you start feeling it. And it actually slows you down, and it brings all kind of issues with ankles and knees. And so in that passage in Hebrew, and the writer says, let us, as we are walking, as we are pilgrim, let us learn to throw off what hinders our Christian walk. And there is the word is not just about, you know, the bad things and, you know, the things we bring as a Christian from our kind of old life. We have that term. It's not just about throwing off sins, but heavy things that we carry, that we shouldn't carry anymore, that we should learn to lay down. Just going to put this, not heavy at all, actually. Would have loved to carry something like this for the whole of my Camino. So it's not about something, not just what is wrong that I need to stop doing, but is what I'm carrying actually helping my Christian pilgrimage? Is it helping me walk with Jesus? Does it make me freer, more available to God? Or is it a weight, something that feels heavy, that actually slows me down? And when you walk the Camino, you realize very quickly a very simple lesson that if you try to carry everything, you cannot walk freely. And perhaps discipleship is partly, as we continue that walk, learning to travel more lightly. And it's an ongoing thing as we commune with God, listen to Him, and respond to what He says. To leave behind what no longer actually belongs to our backpack. That word in Greek, "ogos," is not just sinful habits, but it's what occupies or preoccupies or encumbers a runner. And so I wonder whether we are carrying things like worries. Worries are trying to change something today that only belongs to tomorrow. And it can become heavy. Fear, allowing imagined possibilities to determine today's choice, living by fear. Sometimes it's regret, telling ourselves things that we can't really change. It's past. It needs to be put down. Maybe it's comparison. We measure our journey with someone else, and that's a great danger for me in ministry. Is my church growing? How am I doing? How is my talk? What impact do I have? And I compare myself to others. Or maybe it's people's expectation, living according to the approval of others rather than what Christ is asking us to do. People pleasing, finding our identity in being needed or approved. Of course, there is lots of distractions also that might slow our journey with God. But it's not just the negative thing. Sometimes it's the very good thing of life, but the very good thing that becomes the ultimate things or that are disproportionate. Work is good, but work can become an identity. Serving in a church is good, but serving can become the source of my worth. Even church activities can become distractions. So we need to be wise. What is God maybe asking me? What is God maybe asking you? What is weighing you down? Let us throw off what hinders, and let us run with perseverance that race that's marked before us. What I've learned as I was walking the Camino, it's not a competition. It's not who walks the fastest, who's the best. It's not a competition. And sometimes Christian life can feel like a competition. It's not how much we carry. Perhaps discipleship is to learn to carry what we need, to hold lightly on things, and to put down regularly what we don't need or what we don't need to carry anymore. So what am I carrying that Jesus maybe is asking me today to put down? So that's my backpack. But then there is something else very important. Shoes. So I'm not going to tell you the brand, but I think they're the best shoes to walk in, and they're really great. But why shoes? It's not just about walking lighter. sometimes, well, I think Christian life, we need to invest in the right things. And these shoes were an investment. I've never spent so much money on shoes. I mean, this is £130. Can you imagine? I found it a bit cheap on Amazon, but you know, once in a... But I said, you know, I could buy something 60 quid or 70 quid. But the more I read reviews, says, no, spend money on good shoes. You won't regret it. And I'm glad I did. I've seen many carrying wrong shoes or poor shoes, and their feet was a disaster. And what they thought they were winning by spending a bit less money, they were actually losing. They were walking much more slowly and great pain. And so Christian life is not simply about taking things off, but it's also the need to cultivate and invest in good spiritual practice that nourishes our soul. And that's what we have here in Matthew, a text well known, but sometimes misunderstood, because Jesus here, is, you know, there's three bits, you know, store things for yourself, treasure in heaven, something about the eye is the lamb of the body, and something about serving two masters. They're actually the same thing, it's the same teaching, and it is about cultivating the right eye, we could say. And we need to understand, because in our modern understanding of the functioning of an eye is the reverse. We understand scientifically that I can see because light reflects things from objects and it goes through my eyes and the receptors at the back and it transforms into electricity and it goes into my brain and it helps me understand what is out there. Well, in ancient world, they didn't have that concept. And for them, the eye was more about perception, was something actually that was coming from inside out. It was not a scientific explanation, but there was a common idea that to see is a process from the inside out. And it's connected to perceive, understand, and it's linked to the heart. What's happening inside will determine how you see the world and how you see yourself. You see, it's a different dynamic. And we still have today something of that kind in our expression. I see what you mean. I see what you mean. Or look at it differently. Oh, it's the same thing. No, look at it differently. You know, make a process, an internal process, to look at the same thing but differently. Or he looked at her with love. You know, that's an expression. That's something happening inside that made your perception of what's outside different. And so seeing is not what enters into your eyes, but how you perceive and evaluate reality. And the sequence in that passage is treasure. You don't store up for yourself treasure on earth, but in heaven. Where is your perspective? Where are your values? Where do you align yourself? Are you aligned, say, on the values of earth or the values of heaven? So treasure, the heart, the eye, and if all that is directed towards the right place, there will be light. And the master that you want to follow will be God. I like that translation in the message. The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. And that's why our eyes, our hearts need to be directed to those values, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And to do that, spiritual practices are spaces that allow us to walk better, that allow us to journey better. And so that's what we're going to explore in a series. That's why I said it's rhythms. They're rhythms when we think about prayers and scriptures and service and our community and others. But they're rhythm of grace. We live that through the strength and the guidance of Jesus. But see some example of seeing, perceiving, and how it changes the outlook. An envious person sees another person's success differently than someone who's generous or grateful. That person will see the success of someone very differently than someone who has issue with envy. Someone who trusts God sees security differently. Things can go well in life, but when challenge comes, when circumstances change, someone who's learned to trust God will experience and see that differently. So the question maybe is not just simply, what am I looking at? That is unhelpful. But what is shaping the way I see? And this brings me back to those shoes. On the Camino, good shoes helps you walk the journey. And so in Christian life, I wonder how those spiritual practices that we're going to explore in the coming weeks will help you walk with Jesus. There's a rhythm of grace, the worship, the generosity, our community, how we steward what we have. It's not that we earn God's love, it's we respond to God's love. We're putting ourselves in the place where God's grace can shape us. And we do that repeatedly. We invest time and effort. This is our Christian journey, and this is what my shoes made me think about. And then finally, there's the small thing that you will never think about, and that actually key to a good walk or a good hike. I think I had them. No, they're in my other bag. You see, I've already lost there. But here they are. Good socks. The socks, they are crucial. You can have amazing shoes. If you have the wrong socks, you end up with the same blister. The same horror things will happen. And so it's not just about, you know, things that weigh me down, maybe that Jesus is talking to me and asking me to lay down. It's not about investing in the right thing. Sometimes it's the small thing that makes a big difference. Things we don't think about that actually can really feed our souls. You can spend a lot of money on those boots, but if you dismiss the socks, you end up with blisters. And so could be small things, and what are the small things that I have learned to be more attentive to? For me, is the danger of filling my life with so much busyness that I don't have time to pause. To pause, to be silent, to be still. We can fill our space and our time so much that we miss the opportunity to be present with others, to be present in creation, to be present with God. Learning to count your blessing. I mean, even in non-Christian now, there is a whole series of saying, learn to count your blessing. Learn to look back at the end of the day to the good thing that happened, making it habit, a small little rhythm. Learn to say thank you to God, thank you to others, to be grateful. When you feel something heavy, we have this amazing ability to talk about it to God straight away. We don't have to wait and wait until it becomes so heavy that we say, God, I can't. Learning to journey, to commune with God, and when things are difficult through the day, also at the end of the day, you can say, well, I'm grateful for this and this, and I really found this and this quite difficult, and I'm leaving it to you before the end of the day. Enjoying what is free. We are in a place in England where we can easily enjoy nature. It doesn't happen if you're in a big city, but enjoying the beauty of a tree, the sunset, the birds. I don't know how many of you were able to see the eclipse. Yes? How many of you had the glasses to see the eclipse? Not many of you, I know. But when you're attentive, I said, oh, there's an eclipse coming. Oh, wow, I need to do something to do with my children. And we were on holidays, and my wife had a great idea. Says, let's not go back to the campsite. Let's stay on this beach. And we were able to see the eclipse on one of the most amazing beaches in North Wales. We were the only one with glasses. No one had glasses. So I won't tell you who, you can ask the children, but someone says, oh, they need to see it too. So went around and gave the glasses to everybody. And they was, wow, it's amazing. But it changed the atmosphere, being present. Taking time to enjoy things, good things of the world, taking time, you know, go and have a cup of coffee. Enjoy your meal once in a while with a friend. Celebrate small wins. Pay attention, cultivate gratitude. Continue to be awakened to wonder. And when you walk the Camino, you get in touch more and more with that because you have time. You have time to slow down. You have time to see nature. You have time to enjoy the company of fellow pilgrims. Let us become people who notice, people who receive, and people who give thanks. People whose eyes are increasingly open to the goodness and the presence of God. And as you do, you will often see it in places you would never have thought of first. And that's what the passage is all about. When your eyes are filled with light, is that your eyes are much more open to the reality of God at work, wherever he places you. And the practices of spiritual discipline is part of that. It helps us in our walk. I'm going to finish with, Mike is there. Mike will recognize that. Do you recognize that, Mike? On the right side, this is the stone you gave me. So Mike, before my Camino, gave me a stone that fell from St. James Church. And he said, if you want, take it with you during your walk and lay it down where you feel appropriate. So I'm afraid St. James is missing a stone and it's in Spain somewhere. I'll tell you exactly where it is. So I walked with the stone, something I carried, but I carried gladly. I couldn't find. Now, on the French way, there is a special place where lots of people put stones, and it's like a mound. But it was much further, so when I moved to another one, I couldn't get there. And I was thinking, where do I find? And I was worrying about, I need to put this stone somewhere that's significant. And at some point, I just let it go. I said, Lord, maybe I'm sure there will be a place, and I will know. And at the end, I thought, well, I think it was about 6 days from the end. I said, well, it most probably will be when I arrive there at the cathedral. I know I'll hide it most probably somewhere. It's not by the cathedral, and I'll put the stone. But actually, it happened just before on this hill. You can see in the middle, it's in Spanish. And it's called the Mount of Joy, or the Hill of Joy. And that's where you have those two statues that you saw in the beginning of the presentation. But also there is a cross there. And I knew that's where I need to put St. James Stone, at the cross. Because when you're a minister, the danger is you carry the church. When you're at work, you carry your work. When you have a ministry or a service, you carry. But it's not mine to carry. You are not mine to carry. I need to use the best abilities and gifts that I have to help you. And sometimes I get too involved with things I shouldn't because that's not my giftings or abilities. But laying down that stone at the cross was for me a freeing reality. It is God's business to transform you, God's business to talk to you. He will help my words, but it is God's work. So that was my laying down at that cross. And I wonder whether if you picture something like that, what is your stone that maybe God is calling you to lay down at the cross? I should have given you stones, and there is a beautiful cross. But there is prayer ministry after communion, and that might be a place to go with someone says, you know, I felt God speaking in that way, or I know God has been speaking for weeks and months on this, and I've resisted. I think this is a time for me to lay it down, to put it at the cross, or maybe to pick up a habit that you know God is leading into you. The team that's doing prayer ministry are praying before the service, and the main thing was they were hearing the bells, and the bells can be heard across the town. It's easy. Everyone hears the bells. And it has a certain message, you know, they say, well, it's from the church. And the thought is, how are we bells to others? Because that's what the Holy Spirit is all about in us, is that we can ring a certain sound that people can receive. And generally, because it's not at midnight, the bells are kind of nice things, you know, they're kind of, the bells are ringing. So what good news are we to those around us, in our family, at work, in our neighborhood, and what God might be saying to us? Do I want to be that bell that rings a nice sound so that people can be encouraged and maybe through me come closer to God? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, move into our minds, our hearts, and our wills as we continue to journey with you. Help us to lay down what doesn't belong to our backpack anymore. Help us to invest in good things that will help us on our journey with you. And open our eyes to the wonders of your world, of your beauty, your goodness, and your plans. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.